In that case, I think we are ready for business. Let me introduce myself first. I am Bill Murchison from Dallas. I am a 29-year member of this august group, the Philadelphia Society, which gives me the opportunity to get invited to meetings and also occasionally to get drafted for duties like this one, which I'm always happy to do. If you have not, by this particular point in the deliberations, been sufficiently welcomed to Texas, those of you who live outside the imperial boundaries of our state, then let me correct that defect and welcome you to Texas. I'm sure that some of you by now must have remarked the particularities of the location. Well, San Antonio obviously is a perfect venue for examination of Latin American policy, but there's another particularity that might call itself to your attention. It certainly did to mine, and that is the proximity of this meeting today to the Alamo across the street. This is a proximity that strikes me with great clarity in the fall of 2008. Conservatives and the Alamo. It's not the 13th day of the siege, which was the fatal day, but it seems to me, to some of us, to be getting on to day 10 or maybe day 11, and we keep hoping, how fervently we hope that Fannin is going to show up with his reinforcements from Gilead. Don't tell me he's not. But the Alamo is, of course, a signal moment and a signal symbol in our cultural life and our political life. It was an event that not even John Wayne was able to do much about, tried as he might. And yet I think that there is something not altogether unrefreshing, if I may back into that encomium. Not altogether unrefreshing. That's not how I taught my students at Baylor to speak when I was teaching writing to them. There is something refreshing, let me put it that way, about the proximity of the Philadelphia Society and the Alamo in the fall of 2008. The Philadelphia Society was born in the ashes of what was considered a conservative rout, that is to say, the Goldwater election, the opportunity that I had to cast my first presidential vote, which was not for my fellow Texan Lyndon Johnson, I hope you may be assured. The Philadelphia Society has been addressing itself ever since to the task of regeneration, political, cultural, economic regeneration. And the Philadelphia Society, of course, is a matter of great fun for those of us who are engaged in the regenerative process. It gives us the opportunity to wear our Adam Smith ties and to do Don Lipsett impressions. And to generally know that wherever we go in the Philadelphia Society logo is to be seen in our midst, that around and among us are people still committed as we are to the fundamental principles of the American founding. So that the Philadelphia Society, in my estimation, is a marker for the recovery of our culture and our political culture, our economic culture, our social recovery, amid what appear to be the falling debris around us here in the fall of 2008. And it's a great joy to be with all of you today. Now it's time for me to begin to stand down from this particular enterprise of addressing you about things you probably already know, and to turn over the pulpit, this is in fact a pulpit, to someone who actually knows what he's talking about. And that is our speaker today, G. Philip Hughes, Ambassador G. Philip Hughes. Now, he is due commendation for several things. First of all, for being willing to stand in for the speaker who alas, because of a death in the family, wasn't able to be with us today. And G. Philip Hughes, Ambassador G. Philip Hughes, answered the telephone call. He took the 3 a.m. call from Bill Campbell and said, yes, I'll do it. We're grateful to him for that. He brings with him, additionally, a profound expertise in the matters that we are addressing today, the relationship of the United States to Latin American culture, and I don't mean simply mariachis and Mexican food, but the I speak, of course, of the entire tenor of life and thought and belief and conviction and action in the countries to the South, which we have so routinely for so many years thought of as America's backyard, a proposition now that is coming to haunt us. He knows a great deal about this because he has expertise in those areas. G. Philip Hughes is senior director of the White House Writers Group. So you know one thing for sure, that no matter how the election comes out in 2008, we will have influence in the White House, one way or the other. We will know somebody at the White House. The White House Writers Group oversees and helps various politicians and business concerns with their communications, which heaven knows they're in need of, and it does so with remarkable success. They operate in front of the camera and behind the camera in ways perhaps that you don't ever see or hear of. G. Philip Hughes is one of those with the highest reputation for expertise in the conveying of legitimate and verifiable information and viewpoints about the matters in which they speak. His fields concern national defense, with a primary focus on building support for major weapons systems with the defense intellectual, journalistic, technology, and policy communities and energy. I know this because he wrote it down for me. Let me tell you a little bit. He is a member of the Philadelphia Society, and Bill Campbell told me I didn't have to talk to him about him extensively because you probably already know him, and I trust that many, if not most of you, do know him. But I think a few encomia thrown his way never do hurt, because they're well deserved. He served in many senior foreign policy posts in the White House and the Departments of State, Commerce, and Defense. He served as ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean from 1990 to 1993. And it occurred to me, pondering this particular aspect of his resume, that I am entitled to regret that as a young man, I never understood the possibilities of living in the Caribbean in a way financed by the United States government. Ambassador Hughes must have, and for that I salute him. He has been Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Political Military Affairs. He has served as Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Export Enforcement. It would appear to me from reading his resume that it's been impossible to have a Republican administration for a very long time without the presence within it of G. Philip Hughes. He also has, and I promised you a second consideration that is notable in terms of reinforcing, shoring up his credentials to speak to you today, and that is, no one, I suspect, in this room, except perhaps me, has chosen a more charming partner in life than Victoria Hughes. I have had the great delight and joy of being her dinner, her luncheon partner, and she gives evidence of giving profound testimony to his judgment in all manners worth judging. So I now, with great joy, present to you Ambassador Philip Hughes, who will stand right here.